Turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the Gospel of John's Gospel, chapter 4. Now the book of John has certain consistent analogies and phrases. And because of the way it was written, the very first letter, the very first verse I want to say, says in the beginning was the Logos. Of course, it followed the pattern of earlier ones, Matthew. Matthew says this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the book of genealogy, which is the word Biblios genealogia or Genesis, that has to do with the beginning. Mark says this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark 1:1. Of course, Luke doesn't use that in the beginning, but at the end, and Luke's synoptic is said that he wants us to go and read it again. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Luke 24:27, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then in 44, these are the words which I said to you while I was with you, that all things will be fulfilled during the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he openly they understand that they may understand the scriptures. So when John says in the beginning was the word logos, taken from the Hebrew word dabar, Genesis 15:1, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham speaking to him, saying, in a vision, the dabar of God, God himself. So John writes a synoptic in an exegetical manner, just like the others, but his focus, as you will see, was on the after resurrection events, things Jesus said shortly before he died and went to the cross. That's why you find him dedicate John 14:15-16 to that. John 14:2, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If I'm not so, I told you I go to purpose for where I am, you be also. I go, I come back and see me to myself, so that where I am, pardon me, there you may be also. Then he says, I pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter, verse 16, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who cannot receive, because he sees him not. You know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The emphasis is there in 26. He says, he will bring to your remembrance the things that I've said to you. John 15:26, the Spirit that proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:7, if I go, the comforter will not come, and when he comes, he will reprove the word of sin, of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, he see me no more, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. So there's a consistent emphasis on the Spirit. Upon his resurrection in John 20, verse 21, he came to them and again saying, peace unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Then he breathed on them, them is italicized, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever, he says, sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Look at the consistent. John has that consistent emphasis on the Spirit. But if you look at the synoptic again, you follow, don't forget my text is in John 4. You will see the sequence of a particular statement in John 2, when the mom, Mary now, asks him to come, and they don't have wine. John 2:3, he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour, verse 4, has not yet come. That phrase, my hour, you see it again in the text we are coming back to, verse 23, John 4, the hour cometh, and now is, John 4, 24, John 5, verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they shall leave. You see that consistent narrative of the hour, the time. In John 7, verse 6, my hour is not yet come, but your time is always already. John 12 and verse 23. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 13. Where he emphasized, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So which means that when he mentioned the issue of being glorified, or the hour, it had to do with his death. Of course, when you read the 14th chapter, you will see in that day, John 14, 20, talking about a period, in that day, you know I'm in my Father, I am in you, and you are in me. John 17, or John 16, 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. That day, the day of the new birth, the day of the resurrection. Same thing when the Spirit of truth is come. So you see, it's all interrelated when the Spirit of truth is come. Then John 17, verse 1, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. So in case you are talking about 24 hours or two hours or 1 hour, you see the hour has to do with an event. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The hour is come. So that's consistent. The hour, therefore, has reference to his resurrection, when he is raised from the dead. The day also, same thing. But look at something that comes with it. The giving of the Spirit. John 7:36-37. And Jesus stood that day and cried, He that is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which those that believe on him shall receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet, for Jesus was not yet glorified. So we have that hour. Very easily, you say it's when he rose from the dead, or let's say when he was crucified, hung on the cross, went to the grave, and rose from the dead. Correct. When the Spirit is given, John 7:38-39, you are still correct. When we receive eternal life, sons of God, you are still correct. But let's zero in on chapter 4. What else does the resurrection birth? What else? So it's without much ado, the hour refers to his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension. The fact that the Spirit will be given, the fact that we will receive the Spirit, the fact that there's a flow of the Spirit from the heart of Christ, koleos in the Greek, which depends on the innermost being or the womb of a woman. So, what exactly are we to see in this hour? In John's Gospel chapter 4, we can read a bit more. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we become sons of God, John 1:12, by the resurrection. Born of God, by the resurrection. Resurrection is also when he will baptize with the Spirit. John 1:32-33. He gives a baptism with the Holy Ghost. But in the conversation he had in chapter 4, with the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, we've done studies on this before, so I won't belabor it. The Samaritan woman. He says in verse 22, the conversation was initiated by the woman here, but this sub-conversation here, I perceive that as the prophet, verse 19, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Then Jesus said to her, which I didn't read the other time, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So the hour was also the hour of worship. Then in 22, you worship, you know not what. You know, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, or the Savior is a Jew. Then he repeats that phrase again, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, notice it, in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him can decide, can opt for, no, must worship in spirit and in truth. Aletheia in the Greek is not just the opposite of falsehood. It means in the reality. It is the contrast with types and shadows. It is a contrast with ceremonies. Contrast with ordinary examples. But the reality. One of the names, what the Holy Ghost is called, the Spirit of Truth. He's come. The Spirit of Truth. He's come. John 16:7. He will guide you into all truth. Verse 12. He will guide you into all truth. John 16:12. How many things I said to you, I cannot bear them, cannot bear them. But where he is with the truth is come. John 14:16. I'll pray the Father. He will give another covenant that I may abide with him forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. So when he says, in the Spirit and in truth, it is the Spirit that is the Spirit of Truth. The truth is found in the Spirit. The reality of it. The reality of it. It says, is the true light. Jesus in John 1:9 is called the true light. The light every man that cometh into the world. In John 5:35. He speaks about John being a burning and a shining light, and they were willing, he says, to dwell in his light for a season, to rejoice in it. Burning and a shining light, which is what all the prophets were, but the truth, the reality, is found in Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The truth is another name for Christ. It's synonymous with the word amen. Amen. Also from the word aman. Faithful and true. Aman means to be faithful. Abraham believed in the Lord. Genesis 15:6. It was accounted to him for righteousness. A God of faithfulness without injustice. Aman. So when you say amen, like Jesus said oftentimes, verily, verily, I say unto you, John 3:3, except a man is born again, that one verily, verily is his name. Amen. That one is. It means true and faithful. So when he says, the hour cometh, referring to the resurrection, the death, sacrifice of Christ for redemption, and his resurrection on our behalf, and his ascension into our hearts. He says, the hour cometh, and now is. Then he tells us what is going to happen here. When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Notice what he says in 21. You wouldn't have to go to this mountain or go to Jerusalem. He didn't say you have to go to church. Don't let anybody take that away. That's nonsense. He was referring to two places. The Samaritans believed in this particular mountain. And then the Jews said, no, it's Jerusalem where God is. He says, neither of it, of the two, will qualify. Because the core The issue is the temple. Where is God? The temple. He said you will have to go to that temple to worship. He didn't say you have to gather with others. No. The hour comes where the true worshippers. Interestingly, in the entire New Testament in Greek, this is the only place you'll find that phrase used for worshipper. Proskunetis. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-T-S. But let's therefore look at where it is derived from. Is the word proskueno. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. Two words. Pros means before. So I say before. Say before. Before, then the word kuneo means to touch. So, it has to do with symbols of adoration, obeisance. In their culture, they kiss in worship, they kneel, they bow, they fall down, they pay homage and obeisance. So this is derived from that. To worship here is not to sing, even though you can sing in a worshipful way. To worship here means to pay homage, to come before, to bow down, to kneel. It means to render service, homage, obeisance before a higher person. That is why it is only used for God. Only to pay obeisance, to bow, to kneel. And Jesus demonstrated that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knelt down. Paul knelt down. Jesus also bowed down. His face was on the floor. Paul also did the same. So, it is an act from the heart that becomes a lifestyle. A lifestyle of worship. Worship should not be in our singing. It should be in our lifestyle. A true worshipper is not a sonorous voice singer. Mm-mm. It goes beyond shedding tears when you sing, even though that can also demonstrate it. A true worshipper is one who pays homage, respect, honor to God. Let's see where that phrase proskueno was used. So you will see the import of it. In Matthew 2 and verse 2, it's used for the wise men from the east. They came, look at the sequence. They came from the east to Jerusalem, verse 1, to worship the King of the Jews. Was born the King of the Jews, to worship. So, number one, they had to come to where he was. Number two, they had to bow down, literally, to worship. They came before a 2-year-old boy, as it were, at that point, to pay obeisance, to worship, to show respect, to show regard. It has nothing to do with your culture. It has nothing to do where you are coming from. This is the king. So you give to the king what is due. I recall when my dad was coronated, his mentor, the former vice chancellor of Okuse University, who was his dean in school, even at University of Ife, he came older than he was. And they say, Kabiesio! And I saw the man, all white hair, prof! He went flat. This is a serious matter. At the point when they want to take a picture, so I just put my hands around and he said, I said, we're outside. I said, you know my daddy. He said, no, let's take this picture first. You can do it later. Obedience. To pay respect to one. Matthew 2:2. Matthew 2 verse 8. Look at another thing they did. They said, Aaron said, go so that I can come also and worship him. Notice again that he says, I will come to where he is, prosqueno, to come before him and worship. For it to be worshipped, it has to be what? Pros. What's pros? So for it to be worshipped, it has to be before. Another word for the word pros is to look unto. To look to. That's why they will go to where the noble is, the king is, or where they believe the God is, and go there before. If it's not before, it is not worship. So was it sufficient for Aaron to say, I worship from where I am? Or for the wise man to say, we saw the star, let's worship from where I am? No, they had to go to where the king was to worship. Look at verse 11. They came before the child and what? What did they do? Matthew 2:11, they fell down. They fell down and worshipped, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We're going to see that later. They brought something tangible. Before. If it's not towards, it's not worship. Anybody can sing a good song, a precious song. A guy told us years back, he said, oh, I like this R. Kelly song, I believe I can fly. He said, Pastor, can't we change the song? I said, what? I believe in your name. I believe in your wonderful name. Solomon Makparo, what is before your eyes as you sing that song? Arukeli. Not God. He said, I like this song. So, if it's not before, the words is not worship. Don't forget, the people that came to Jesus, they didn't come with songs or music team. They came to bow. They came to fall on their face. They came to acknowledge. And they came to also give. Not songs. They were not singing. They were not singing. Proskueno. In Matthew 4 verse 9. When Satan said to Jesus, all the things I will give you if you will fall down. Look at it. Fall down and sing to me. No. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Sing? No. Worship me. Fall and worship. Come before me. Acknowledge me. And Jesus says, or said to him, verse 10, get this hands, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou will serve. Put the two together, because it's critical. Those two words, worship and service. You can't take service away from worship. Sing all you can. Jesus, I love you so, and I want you to know, you're my desire, nothing else matters. You're my delight. To you, Lord, I sing, hallelujah. Nothing else matters, Abi. Okay? This convention continues till next week. Pastor, we were not told. Nothing else matters. Well, I didn't add that one there. They came from afar to where he was, unto him, and they brought gifts. Service in worship. Let's move on. In Matthew chapter 8 and 2, we find the same term. They came to Jesus and fell down. That's the word worship. Matthew 9:18 again is demonstrated by falling down to literally show that you respect someone. So when there's worship, there's courtesy. Courtesy that is given to that person. The kneeling down is courtesy. The bowing down is courtesy for the office of that fellow. So, worship has service, very key. It also has courtesy. So when Jesus said, the hour cometh when you will bow down, right? Huh? Is that correct? Pay homage, is that correct? Fall down, is that correct? Huh? Serve, is that correct? In spirit and in reality. Worship without courtesy is a lie. That is why in Matthew 15, he said, you are hypocrites. He said in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Then he said to them, he said in verse 8, quoting the prophets, Matthew 15 verse 8, he said, these people draw near with their mouth unto me, honor me with their lips, but their hearts, their innermost being, is far from me. It's far. Look at the book of Acts. Acts 7:43. I don't know, this sound is changing. I don't know what you did to it. It just changed suddenly. Acts 7:43. Then God turned and gave them to worship the host of heaven. Exodus 32:1-20. They now began to sacrifice to cosmic beings, earthly things. Acts 10:25. Look at this. Cornelius met Peter and fell down at his feet and worshipped. Fell down at his feet and worship. Peter says, stand up. I am a man. Which means
It is only for God. He says, stand up. I am a man.
So we find courtesy. A courteous behavior. A courteous action. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 25. Where Paul, speaking about a meeting, when he says, you all come together and everybody prophesies. Then he says, there coming someone that doesn't believe. Then he says, in 25, he will fall down on his face. He will worship God. He will fall down. Which means that the courteous actions of worship remains the same. To lift your hands, to bow down, to kneel down, to bow your face. Sometimes we are singing. And you see people. We sing some songs like, here I am to bow down. And a guy will remain like this one, even tall. The short ones will not see them. To bow down. We bow down on our knees. And yes, we bow down on our... Is it biology you don't understand or English? Or your physiology is different? We bow down on our knees. To lift my hands, say, I love you. To lift my hands, you now have one. My hands to say I love you. I lift my hands. You just, that's not your hand. This is your hand. In Acts 20, Paul, in Ephesus, there was a dead duck in verse 36. Acts 20, 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed. Acts 7:60. So it's not a Jewish custom. Acts 7:60. Stephen knelt down again in worship. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:8. Urge every man everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. Of course, lifting up is old English. You don't lift something and say it is lifting up. It's already up when you lift it. 1 Timothy 2:8. And wherefore urge every man to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Someone was telling what they said, he thinks it's figurative. I say, okay, what else is not figurative there? Holy, hands, wrath, down, shut up, lift your hands! When you are used to, I tell you what, make it, come arrow, come arrow, come arrow, come arrow, come arrow, you're happy and you know, clap your hands in church! Clap your hands, stamp your feet. Also, guy that was in worship one day to excite the people said, let's sing this song together in church. Jumbo, my son, I sent you to school. You don't know how to spell your name. Just to get them excited. Are you okay? Lifting holy hands is worship. Hebrews 1:6 talks about angels. Worshipping Jesus is not because he sang. Hebrews 11:21 talked about Joseph, who when he was dying blessed for the sons of Joseph, worshipping upon the top of his staff. So worship is not singing. You can only sing in worship. Worship means to revere, to respect, to bear obeisance, and very critically, to serve. Oh, you like to sing in your bedroom. I don't believe that they can sing. What is the burden in Ibadan? Agiyemi Crescent. Away. She's always singing. A particular song. You hear it in the morning and evening. She doesn't stop singing it. My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. He will never fail. He will never change. He will do what he said he will do. You can see, look at him in my favor. I get everything about you. He my miracle. He will do what he said he will do. Every day. Sing it out. Early Sunday morning. She's not going to church. I can see him. Sunday morning. No church service. Sunday morning, going nowhere. I can see! Some people like that too, they will sing. Oh, always singing. Woo! Woo! Glory all around. And you're not moving from where you are. Glory of the Lord. Spirit of presence in us through you. How? Here's the land. Which land? Here's the land. Are we good? We want to have workers meeting on Saturday. I cannot be there. You are not worshiping God. You're only enjoying the music or music. You are far from true worship. There can't be worship without service. Are you in church? So a man, God forbid, in Saints Community Church, can be in the music team, shows up for choir rehearsals. They sing auto, treble, terrible, motto, odd, tremor, trenor, tenor. Ah! Woo! Ah! Yee! Yahoo! Hello. It's time to pray! Sir? Imagine going for an all-night rehearsal and the man said, we're not singing. We're praying throughout. Eh? Sir? This is not a prayer department. No, we are all worshippers. Yes, we are worshippers. Also, a lady like that, we had this prayer meeting. So, everybody was praying. She sat in one corner and was just singing. Adonai, we worship you. Son of God, you are so good. Almighty God, I love you. And I said, this is, you are not praying. Say, I'm a worshipper. I will never worship man-made God. Man-made God. This is a man-made God.
See, worshipper.
You are in the music team. You are singing. Oh, glory God is here. Power of our God. And they bring the offering back. Great and mighty God. Awesome is your name. The glory cloud is here. Put the money in the glory cloud. You are not a worshiper if you don't serve. Worship is service. That is what the devil meant when he said to Jesus, serve me. The other word you will see for worship is the word lateria. Latria. Latria. I didn't say latria, no. Latria. Oftentimes used for temple service. In Romans 12:1, it says, I believe you burn by the mercy of God, that you present your union with Christ, your body, a living sacrifice. Many of us love those depth of information. Oh my God. You say, wow, we have received the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. Hereby we reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:1. Therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Romans 4:25. Love our first name for justification. Oh! You say, yes, Lord! He said, God does not record your sins. Romans 4:3, Romans 4:5. Imputed unto us righteousness. Hey! Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Romans 4:8. David described the blessing of that man and said, yes! Woo! Blessed is glory. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Yeah! Woo! Glory! Adore Him! Adore Him! There is there no condemnation. You're happy. We have Romans 8:13 or Romans 8:9. It says we are not in the flesh. So, woo! If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in us, we are now in the Spirit. If any other the Spirit of Christ, none of us. Romans 8:10. Say, great truth. Great truth. For if Christ be in you, spirit is dead, body is dead to sin. The spirit lies to righteousness. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Yeah, glory. Not to the flesh, live unto the flesh. But through the flesh, if you live, you die. But through the spirit, modify the body, you are living. Say, woo! Pastor has even explained that to us. That mortification is salvation. So you are happy again. You're not going to hell. You don't have to be mortifying every day. It has been mortified, sir. Yeah. Done. Done. Done! You hear? As many as are led, usually you were trying to be led. You are not told, no, in redemption, you are led. Rabbi. Where you come by you? Because you are happy. Happy at Rabbi Rabotica. Rabonotica. You say, we have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear. Say, thank you, sir. Or, when I first came for that first camp meeting, my life changed. You don't look about. Your life changed. We gave you free CDs. Your life changed. What did you do? That changed your life. My life just turned around. Turned around. Turned around. So, he explained it. He said, the spirit bears with us that we are children of God. You stop there. Oh, you are riding on. We are joined to Jesus Christ. You are flowing. You are flowing. You get to Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but therefore also shall he not with him give us of all things. If God be for us, who can be against us? You say, you got up from the siege. You ran. Yeah. Nothing shall be against me. Not even my principal. Not even my supervisor. Nobody shall be against me. Not my MD. But you lose, amen. No one! Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. You get to Romans now, you are stumbling because what's this? Israel, Gentile. No. Paul is not talking to me here. Romans 10. You jump to 10. You say the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Faith speaks, it does not do. Are you hearing? We only say those things. We say it from the heart. We are not known by what we do. We are known by what we say. Very good. Keep moving. So you are happy, excited. Faith cometh by hearing the word. You say, no, it doesn't come and come. It comes once. I'm saved one. Woo! Okay. You proceed to Romans 11. Just like Paul said, you stumbled at the rock of offense. What do you mean by engrafted, removed? I thought you said here that... Keep reading. The Romans 12:1. As you're about to exit, he said, no, there are 3 more chapters here. Quickly. Now, is the addendum? No. The focus. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God,
that you present the union, parastami, the union as a living sacrifice. Zahotusian. It takes you back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Exodus, the service of the temple. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable tous oletria. Temple service. You see that word again in Hebrews 9:1 and Hebrews 9:6 and Romans 9:4. So he takes you back to the Old Testament texts, as we call them, how the priest will wait to offer things. How they consecrated and dedicated their lives to the service of God. He said, this is the summation of all my insight and revelation. To present this union, this great gift of righteousness, this identification you have with Christ, it now becomes worship. So, the verb of that word latria is the word latreo. L-A-T-R-E-U-O. The very word Jesus said in Matthew 4:10. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone, Matthew 4:10, you will serve. Worship that is only done in singing and tears is deceit. Worship must be done with service. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear by his name. You won't go after other gods of the God of whom were around you. You would only serve God like a priest. In the great calling of redemption, Luke's Gospel 1:74. Why are we saved? We are saved in redemption, in the Exodus, to serve. Luke 1:74. That he will grant unto us, that we've been delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Lateral. Luke 2:37. We find a woman, a widow, fourscore, 4 years, she served God with fastings and prayers. She served God with fastings and prayers. If you look at the Luke rendering and the Matthew rendering, that latrio was used in the temple. It's temple worship. And in the temple, you bring sacrifices. You bring things. You bring a show of that service. The least of worship is singing. Acts 7:7, Acts 7:42. Same thing is repeated. In Acts 24:14, Paul says, I serve God of my fathers. And how does he serve God? Not by singing. We're not a good singer. But by the dedicated, devoted worship he gave in his service. Acts 26:7. In Romans 1:9, Paul says, I serve God with my spirit. We'll come to that shortly. I serve God with my spirit. In Romans 3:3, which worship God in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews 9:9, we see the worshippers who worshipped with gifts and sacrifices, but their conscience was not perfect. Nothing wrong in gifts and sacrifices. It's just that their conscience was not perfect. We read verse 14 later.
where by redemption we now can serve God, just like Hebrews 12:28 and Hebrews 13:10. So worship of God is beyond singing. It's beyond what? Slow rhythm. No. Some people even sing and disobey their pastor. Pastor is calling you, and the man says, you must be very stupid. You shouldn't have done that. You should not be on that. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Shame has no power. Maybe not over you, but inside you. Singing away your foolishness. So singing is only a demonstration of worship. It is not the worship itself. Worship without tangible, impactful, noticeable servanthood is deceit. Don't forget our text. Redemption, the resurrection, the new creation makes us true what? True what? Oh, stand up everybody, stand up. Let's hear the word standing. Stand up, amen! Stand up for Jesus! So, when we sing, it's not worship. So we said, redemption and the resurrection, that's what? True servants. Which means, by the new birth, pretentious, hypocritical worship should be in your past. The new birth has birth in you. True worship. Which means you can. If you are not serving in truth, it's because you don't want to. It's not because you cannot. Remove service from worship, you have hypocrisy. Present this union. That's why the next thing he talks about in Romans 12, he says that God has dealt to every one of us the measure of his faithfulness, having then gifts, deferring according to the provision of grace. He says in verse 4 and 5, he that prophesies, he that teaches, he that serves, that is worship. He that gives, he that is generous, he that is showing mercy. There was nothing there that talked about singing. Teach, serve, be generous, oversee lives, rule, show love, show kindness, be available, be prompt, love the brotherhood. So he said in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, doing what? Serving the Lord. True worship has tangible, seeable, realizable, usable actions and attitudes. The new birth brings to us the power of the grace of God through worship. The third part you will see is the word sacrifice. When it says living sacrifice, Zaho to Sian. Whilst in the Old Testament, as we call them in the temple, they will bring animals and kill it. And they will kill it and bring it to show obeisance to God, because in their culture, that was it. You kill animals and then to have incense. Now, in the new creation, God gave you his spirit. Okay? So that it is your action by the spirit that is that sacrifice. Your actions by the spirit. Tusian. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, turn there. Paul describes walking in love as a tousian to God. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself to us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So whilst in the Old Testament they bring animals on the altar, in the New Testament, you are the person there. You are the one there. Sweet smelling savor. Again, in Philippians chapter 4, or Philippians 2 first, Philippians 2 and verse 17. Paul says, I want us to read it together. Philippians 2, 17, if you are there, say amen. Okay, let's read it together. Yea, and if I be offered upon sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So who is the offering? You. Your all being. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, might, and soul. To Romans chapter 6 and 5. So, it says, I myself is offered. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And verse 18. Philippians 4, 18. For I have all abound and full. I have all an abound and full. I have received of Epaphroditus the things which you sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice. Acceptable. Well pleasing to God. Look at that. He sent Paul a gift. Sent their pastor a gift. And Paul said, what you have done is worship. Worship. So, giving in church without a worshipful attitude, as you are giving, are you before God? Are you doing it unto Him? Oh, I know men are going to collect the money, the resources. Just like in your different departments and churches and fellowships, men are going to be the ones to supervise you. But you must do it with worship. The moment your focus shifts in any way from worship, what you have done is in vain. Hebrews 5:1, Hebrews 7:27, Hebrews 9:9. All demonstrate this. The death of Jesus, Hebrews 10:12, was also sacrifice. It was service. Sweet smelling savor. Sacrifice. Have your seat. Don't thank me. Oh, that's a mistake. If you thank me, you're going to remain standing. Just sit down. Sit down at the right hand of no sleep. Are you in church? Are you in church? So, worship is service. Okay? Is worship singing? Huh? But can we sing in a worshipful way? Aha. Worship is service. Worship is sacrifice. Right? Worship is to pay homage to God. Obeisance. Respect. Courtesy. The way you come for services, do you do it in worship? The way you attended this convention, do you do it in worship? You say, put off your phones. Why? Because it will be a distraction to others. You are here unto the Lord, and your phone goes off. And regularly. Irreverence. Lack of respect. Lack of courtesy. Lack of regard for where you are. Lack of respect for who is here. Worship must have courtesy, respect, honor, reverence. It must have tangible actions to show that courtesy. Worship includes, as we are going to see later, sacrifices. A sacrifice is not something that is convenient. A sacrifice, oftentimes, is not something that is convenient. So let's get back to John 4 quickly. It says, in this hour, the true worshippers will do it in spirit. Or in union with the Holy Ghost. Or from the new birth. So let's go back a bit to John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Except a man is born of water that is in spirit, he cannot enter in. So which means, when I am born again, I am born of the spirit. That which is born of the flesh, he says, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Mother, not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind broke where it listed, you hear the sound. You can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the spirit. I'm born of the spirit. Say it again, I'm born of the spirit. Which means that the spirit of God has tabernacled on your heart. Born of the spirit. You are born of the spirit. It means, like the word genaho, it means you are generated by the spirit. It carries with it genes, DNA, faculties, abilities. John 4. It says, if you take of this water, you will thirst again. But he that drinks or takes of it, I give him shall be new and well. Springing up unto everlasting life, which means it is within you. In John 4:10, he calls it the gift of God. In John 6:63, it says, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So, we are quickened by God, quickened by spirit. We are born again. John 7, the one we quoted earlier. How of his bench shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the spirit, John 7, 37, 38, and 39. That those who believe on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost is not yet given because Jesus is not yet glorified. And in John 14, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you for how long? For how long? Even the spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because he sees him not, for he know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? In you. So, if that happened in the resurrection, that means I am born a worshipper forever. There is no time I can't worship. There is no time I can't serve. There is no time I cannot sacrifice. There is no time I cannot give. Because it is my nature. Say, I'm naturally a true worshipper. Say it again, I'm naturally a true worshipper. So, whether your voice is as bad or as mixed like Brother Alex, whether your voice is as graciously great, even though critical, like Brother Dan, whatever status you found yourself, no matter how bad your voice is, whether you are singing to the Lord alone or you are making a joyful, don't forget, noise. You are a true worshipper. You have the ability to give, to serve, to sacrifice. You came a stingy man, you are born again a generous man. You came a self-centered being, always about you and you alone, now you are born a selfless being. You came an introverted, privatized, self-deluded idol. You are born again now to be an offering for all by the new birth. Your personality has changed by the new birth. Your nature has changed by the new birth. Your disposition has changed by the new birth. Your tendencies have been altered forever. Can I have an amen? Forever. Your tendencies have been altered. You that self-willed person, self-conscious, self-centered, self-deluded, stingy. I use the word stingy again with emphasis. Stingy, tight-fisted, self-acclaiming, self-adoring human being. You can't do anything if it doesn't have money to eat. You can't serve anyone if they don't give you money. You cannot do anything without pecuniary benefit. What is the need for me? What is there for me? That's what the folks. They were given lasciviously in obscene ways. Oh, they will give, drop everything. Yeah, yeah. As one service like that, the man said, whatever is precious to you, drop. Remove the stop. Almost when he box and said, stop that nonsense. They went, brought their car keys, they ran, yeah, and they brought it out. The man said, when you connect, you'll be connected. And they ran. Not out of true worship. Out of a greedy, obscenely, lustful want of money. Today, as you sow this seed into my ministry, doors we open for you. Then they open the door of stupidity and you enter therein. You did that with all your heart because the love of money was the root of all your happiness. Now you are born again. Let's assume then you were born again too. But rebirth. A new birth. You cross the sea, but you are still in the desert. It's time to cross the Jordan now. Now you are born again. We'll teach you giving. Serving God. Out of your heart. Being available for others. You heard that. Then in your mind, you are still asking. So therefore. I keep saying it. If we say, for example, that every prayer group meeting, 1 millionaire. Every prayer group meeting. Some will say, why are we doing just 6? Pastor, 6. No, now. We should do more. God deserves our worship. But we say, I meant 1 million spiritual naira. Laid in store for you at the last day. Just wait till then. The guy just reduces. It just feels what's there. What's in it? What's in it for me? That is not a true worshiper. That is a negotiator. That one is collecting ransom from God. Amen. No! A true worshiper is who you are. Say, I'm born of God. Selfishness. Say, selfishness is in my past. Self-centeredness is in my past. When I say, you mean more than the world to me, I mean it from my heart because it is true. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Now you read the truth of redemption, the truth of giving. Then your offering reduced. Your service reduced. You've heard that whether you serve God or not, you are born again. You have heard that nothing evil will happen to you because you're not coming to church. You have heard all those things. You are now using your liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh. A guy told me to my face, 1999. He said, but you taught us now that we cannot be cursed. Don't be to my face. He said, you know, you taught us that you cannot be cursed. I said, did I finish teaching you? He said, you mean there's still more? I said, you are cursed. Well,
I think the man is really because he has abandoned this since then. Said we cannot be cursed. So he's using the word for himself. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I can sin and live anyhow, no matter what I do. A statement you have never made in my life before. No matter what I do, where I do, and who I do it to, I am done for. You missed that one. You are not just going to do it, you will be done for. And downfall. He's looking out, looking good. Don't fall, downfall. Don't die. No. No! You are now a true worshipper. Which means the Holy Ghost has worked on your heart. You believe that? Do you believe that? The Holy Ghost has worked on your heart. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Say, I'm washed. I didn't hear you say, I'm washed. Shout it out, say, I'm washed. Say it again, I'm washed. So you are washed. New habits have come. Fruit of the Spirit is there. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, patience, long-suffering, faithfulness. They're all there. Born again. Now, selfishness has gone. Now, self-centeredness has gone. Whatever they say you as a Yoruba man, you have a tendency of always doing because you are Yoruba or you are Ijebu or you are Ekiti or you are Igba. It's gone for good. You are now in the new creation. Whatever they say you can do as an Igbo man, Igbo or Ishekiri, is gone for good. Whatever you say you can do as an Hausa man, a Fulani man, is gone for good. That tendency is no more. Whatever they say you do, as a South African, African, so should I say Zulu, is gone for good. Whatever they say you can do now do because you are Benanoa, or because you are Ghanaian, or you are Ashanti, is gone for good. Whatever they say you do because you are French, Spaniard, is gone for good. All of us now partake of the same nature. It's expected that no one here should have a special characteristic trait that we cannot have. We are all true worshippers. New creation has come. Ephesians 4, we are put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are sealed with the Spirit of promise to the day of redemption, Ephesians 1:3 and Ephesians 4:30. We are born of the Spirit of God. Now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:1-2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. You know what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John 4:4. You are God, little children. Greater is He that is in you. A new nature has come. Not Greek, not Hebrew, male, not female. Some things they say about you because you are a woman. So she's a woman. So she's very sensitive. She's a woman. She has this instinct. A powerful instinct. You are now led by the Spirit, not one useless instinct. Feminine hormonal disposition to rubbish. Or a masculine hormonal disposition to nonsense. No! You're born again, tender-hearted, loving, compassionate, hallelujah. Is that you? Is that you? Compassionate, diligent, hallelujah. Merciful, gracious, holy, amen. Righteous in conduct, us honoring, honorable, amen. Morally upright, hallelujah. Fervent, firm, decisive, resolute, is that you? Is that you? Firm foundation in Christ, is that you? Stable at all times, is that you? Reliable, faithful, loyal, is that you? Hallelujah! Always peaceful,
Not moods, carrying mood like you are possessed. No, that's not you. Always full of joy. Dependable, reliable. That is you. True worshiper. For the Spirit of God, 1 Peter 1:22, our hearts have been purified. Our souls purified forever. New nature. New creation has come. Light has overwhelmed darkness once and for all.
It's just my nature. Ask my mommy.
Who's your mommy?
Ask my daddy. That's how I am. I can be very weary. That's why I am. That's how I am. It's my weakness.
No! The Lord is the strength of your life. The Lord is the light of your salvation.
No!
You are a new creation. The light that you have is the light of this world, who is Jesus Christ. New nature has come. Hallelujah. Now some of us, we need to go through this every day. There was someone like that. I had to sit him down. I said, you are going to say I am a spirit for 1,000 times. Because the way I'm seeing you, carnality has overwhelmed you. So start counting. I am a spirit. 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 You said it. Where it went on? I am a spirit. I said, you are going to continue to 10,000. Ah! So it wasn't like that. You say things about yourself contrary to that union you have with Christ. You cannot present your culture as a living sacrifice. You cannot present your personality as a living sacrifice. You cannot present your so-called background living sacrifice. You can only present the body of Christ as a living sacrifice. So by the Spirit, we have a new character. By the Spirit, we have a new nature. Hebrews 9:14. Look at it. We now can serve God by the Spirit. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to do what? To serve the living God. Say, now I can serve God. I can serve God. So you are now a true worshiper. Your conscience has been purged. Your soul, 1 Peter 1:22, purified through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means the way you are right now, you can now serve fervently. You are fervent. Say, I'm fervent. Say, I'm fervent. By your nature in Christ, you are fervent. When you are not fervent is when you are not yourself. Not yourself. We used to call some people then B-O-L, believer on leave. He's on leave now. He's on leave. She's on leave now. She's on leave now. She has taken leave from work. Leave from the Spirit. That's why Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the lust, and the affections thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us what? Walk in the Spirit. Are you in church? So, now, by being born again, look at the things you can now do effortlessly. You can now offer yourself for service. Hallelujah. One thing about worship is that you are available. You cannot, you know, we said that they had to come from the east to Jerusalem. That means they were what? Available. You are available. You are available. Here I am. I'm only available. You are now available. You are now available. So, begin to think. Abel offered sacrifice. Genesis 4:2-3. Now I offer myself. Noah offered sacrifice. Sweet smelling savor. It wasn't about sin. Abraham did the same thing. Genesis 15. You are now the offering. You are now a sweet smelling savor to God. You are in the works department.
And they say, tomorrow we want to go and fix something in church. You see God. You go for the meeting. Serving God. You go for the meeting before God. You fix it before God. In the ushering department, let's clean the chairs. You are cleaning it for God. For God. That's worship, right? Is that worship? Is that worship? That's for God. That's for God. You are not doing it in deceit. In deceit. You are not pretending. Have you cleaned this church? You say yes. The whole place? You said yes. And you are lying. You know why you said it? Because you think it was to Pastor Jakes. But the one to whom worship is received has looked at you and disqualified your work. Have you done this? You write a report to your pastor and your doctor. We don't do it here. I'm just talking about it. There was a brother like that years ago, went for evangelism. And he brought names of people that you can only find in the book of no one. Just John Mutairu, Shegun Opanyinka, Gideon Paul. So my friends say, these names are too close contact. So was watching that 1998. Let us go and do follow up. He said, all of them don't stay there. The entire 80. So somebody asks, did you preach at the bus station? Is it car park that you preached? No. Because it's car park, everybody has gone. He said, no. It was in one area. Say, and lobby. We are going there. He said, ah, no. They told me they will not be there. All of them? He said, then some that will be there, I'm not sure they will be there. He said, Jewo, Jewo. Oh, we so. About 80 names. The brother wanted applause.
Ah!
Brother, who is who? That brother is a winner, soul, soul winner. Ah, ah. He said, bless you. That's what you're looking for. Glory. Yeah. Don't mention. It's alright. Thank you, sir. You are the one training us. Thank you, sir. Hey, thank you. Who is training you? You wrote lies. I'm a true worshiper. I do it genuinely. Genuinely. Is that prayer chain? Unto the Lord. 4 o'clock. They wake you. He said, brother, say, I pray. He said the alarm for 5:25. 5:25, he now wake up. He said, let us round up. Amen. Say, amen. Up from Jesus. You are devilish. Devilish. Don't do that. Ananias and Sapphira were given to deceive. They were killed by the devil. And Peter said, why did you have to lie against the Holy Ghost? It's a sin I don't know in the Bible. But the key issue there is, why did you lie? Are you not doing it for the Lord? Why did you lie? Why do you have to say it was 4 to 5? Whereas it was 4:38 to 5. Why do you have to lie? Why? You're a true worshiper. You have crucified the flesh, the lust and the affections thereof. Is that you? Is that you? So you can genuinely offer yourself to serve. You can serve in any department. You can serve anywhere. You offer yourself. And where you offer yourself, Philippians 2:17, is to offer yourself to the church. 1 Peter 1:22, to show unfeigned love to brethren, is to offer yourself. Romans 12:2-21, is to offer yourself to others. Jesus is the example of the offering. And who did Jesus offer himself for us unto God? Who are you in the works department for? For us unto God. Who are you singing to for us unto God?
Don't sound like that. I went to prison in Obama, 1995 or 6.
And you could see the choir. They will move to the left. He just stood in one spot. He knew he was a distraction. They say, the song they sang that day was, what's this song again? Forgotten the song. Everybody said, about Jubilee. They okay, he just stood like this. Jubilee. They sang the second song. The third song. For the service. What was wrong? Pastor Shemi Homo, she beg my son, it me. You know that song? Allah Shemi Homo, she beg, you know the song? Sorry, I'm very sorry. It's a song of the 80s. Allah Shemi Homo, she beg my son, you know that song? What about me? Okay, let me stop there, let me see. No, that place accordion. Yeah, I did the con. Allah Shemi Homo, she beg my son, it me. The pastor has offended me, so I'm going to show him in the church. So like this, I said, I said, do you know Epa? He said, no. Epa, pare, oropo, paja. You know that? Don't worry. I said, you are doing yourself. You are doing yourself. You are doing yourself. I know you say, we don't have masters in level. I know. I taught you. I can even teach you now. Etu banani. You don't have mindset, we know. We are supposed to lay out treasures. Are we? Lay out treasures. Paul says you lay a good foundation for the time to come. What are you laying down? Coming to sing and singing with... Some people even sing with a sense of entitlement. Somebody told me, I don't want to be in that department again. I said, why? I think they are not appreciating my services. I said, you are crazy. You are feeling entitled that you have to be. I tell someone in the music team. I said there are some who are lead singers. I said there are some people in the backup. Is that what they call it? They are better singers. Don't feel entitled. The fact we gave you a microphone to come and sing, you now lead the song. Then we don't give you the song 2-3 meetings. You start begin to frown. You know, I say, light of the world, light of life. Entitlement culture. Or day. They give you the microphone. It is a privilege. Anywhere I go, if they call me to preach, even if they are just 5, I appreciate them. Thank you. I don't have an entitlement culture. There was somebody that came to preach for us years ago. And the fellow came and did not recognize the pastor of the church. So I kept quiet. And I asked him, somebody else said you did so and so. He said, I don't want anybody to think I'm endorsing that church. I said, oh. So you feel entitled. You think you must preach there. No. If you have been chased from pulpit before like me, every opportunity is a miracle. I've been preaching before and they say, 20 minutes more. I looked at the auspicious. They came back around 2 minutes. 5 minutes more. I said, okay. The Bible says when they came, round up. I said, okay. So I packed my Bible. I said, what do I do next? How's it going? I said, bless you, sir. Just go. Just cut out my team. That's what I preached. And they saw me off like this. I said, am I still coming tomorrow? He said, no. We have changed the program. I said, say yes. Bless you. Thank God. I could feel it from my back that I say, thank God this troublemaker has gone. I said, that they put my name on the poster like this. I said, so every opportunity, the second session, I said, thank you again, Pastor, for this privilege to preach. It is always a privilege. They ask you to go and preach somewhere. Your pastor calls you. And he says, brother so-and-so, may pastor, your cause you share for me. The first thing he said, I want to thank my pastor for the privilege. You don't have an intention. Let me thank God. God used your pastor. What you are doing to him is unto who? The Lord. Unto the Lord. What they gave Paul was unto the Lord. What they were doing to Jesus was unto God. That's how it is.
Where was your focus when you did it? So even if your pastor doesn't even say thank you or doesn't even recognize it, you are waiting for recognition. Anyway, you're able to say, Bobekli is not recognizing me. Did you do it for him to recognize you? He can do it to inspire you, to encourage you. But the one who should recognize you is God. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? So, you have that ability to be available. Don't have an entitlement culture. They must call me. I must be the one to preach.
So don't be here. How can you?
I didn't finish the story I said about Sister Bola. So one of the young university group, they were selling what was it again? But you people are now selling your father now, but not the same spirit. And they came and said, Pastor, Bola Lee preaching at BTC 2006. He's Bola. I say, you have the guts to come at 2007, to come and ask me who is preaching.
I said, have you forgotten how they brought you to me? They said you were speaking in tongues, but you were not born again. Can you remember?
I'll tell you your story.
Shut up your mouth!
And the tongues was like, lulu, 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 luriro. You now have the God's entitlement culture to say I must choose you to preach. Someone one day was telling me, back then in faith, I said, sir, you know, I'm just sensing. And you know, when we have the meeting, and then you call on us, you just call on us to, I'm just ready to call on us to just give those things by the Holy Ghost. Oh my, see how he's telling himself, just give by the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. So when the meeting began, and he will want to step out. There's a way we step out in those days. I think we don't do that in this church. It's like this. So I know that style. So it's, we all used to do it. That means you have utterance. So he will come like this. I just turn away. I'll call somebody else. Oh! I said, sure. I gave it to a new member. Come on, Professor, ain't you here? For anything, I will interpret it for you. Entitlement culture. Go sit down somewhere. You are who? That's what Judas did. How can this be done, wasted on Jesus? Kiloko, I want only me. Entitlement culture. Now he's now preaching in meetings. Now he now has sisters cooking for him. Are you? Now he now has text messages. You are the gift of God to me. I thank God for my pastor, but I thank God for you the more. So his head is swelling. So he says, how can you do this only for Jesus? Immediately did that Satan enter his heart. Entitlement culture. I must lead worship. I must be the one to lead prayer. Bro Alex must. I must be the one to lead the vigil. Sister Tonya must make me preach. No. Every time, it is a privilege. A privilege. I was doing a review for a theological school last 3 weeks. So I did a summary for them. I worked on 1,800 pages. And I was doing it line upon line. And the man said, Chris, you are a machine. He said, what can we do without you? I responded. An old American. I said, sir, no. It's a privilege. Without this, I would die. This is my life. I'm happy. I can do this for God, for you. About 1,800 or more pages, line upon line. Yet, it's a privilege. No entitlement spirit should take over your soul. See, I refuse an entitlement spirit. If you are called, fine. If you are not called, keep serving where you are. You offer yourself. You make yourself available. The true worshiper is born of the Spirit. Sanctified by the Spirit, you are always full of the Spirit in service. always, I'm going to share that in the second session, you're always full of the Spirit. Which means, if you are going to serve God genuinely, you have to rely on the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the strength of your service. And is in you for how long? For how long? So there is no time He won't help you to serve. There is no time He won't help you to do the right things. You walk in the Spirit. You will serve in the Spirit. Are you there? So always. When it appears that the senses are coming in, offenses are coming in, the flesh distraction, you yield to the Holy Ghost. He said, no. You are the fire in me. You are the power at work in me. You are my ever-present helper. Holy Spirit, I adore. Precious Holy Ghost, I worship you. I worship. I will open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. Your mind is trying to walk away. I will have you into my heart and into my soul. Tread in my heart. Serving you is my desire. I won't be holding back at all. Responding to your call. Which means, you must know how to rely on the Holy Ghost. Even when strength is failing. Because it will always fail. When you feel like giving up. When you feel like being selfish again. Self-centered. When you feel like stop, you still feel like all my selflessness is not being appreciated. And you start getting grumpy. Start getting disgruntled. Satan is working on you. Say, no! One day like that I was complaining. I said, Lord, I was just saying, why are you all disturbing me? And I was really making a fuss about it. That sometimes the pastor is disturbed really. And he has to rest. I know that. But that day I was just, and the Lord asked me, would you rather not be disturbed? That's a big question. Nobody is calling you. Nobody has asked you to pray. Nobody's. You are just irrelevant. You are not relevant to anybody's spiritual life. Nobody is thinking about you. Nobody is. You know, is that the kind of life you want to lead? Huh? Will you ever be? You'll be depressed for the rest of your life. You have all the money and you will die in unhappiness and lack of contentment. So you let the Spirit of God. Where the true worship is in the Spirit. It's right there. Your genuine heart is in the Spirit. Your sincerity is that. It's there. Your pureness, sanctification, it's in the Spirit. You cannot worship God without the help of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in you forever. Forever. So you have strength forever. You have zeal forever. You have fire forever. So it's time to know how to take advantage of it. You know, you cannot be stingy by the Spirit. Right? Can you be? You can only be generous by the Spirit. Come on, talk to me. You cannot be perpetually late for meetings by the Spirit. You cannot be recalcitrant by the Spirit. You can't be stubborn by the Holy Ghost. You can't. You can't be unruly by the Spirit. You cannot be disobedient by the Spirit. You cannot be uncouth in your words by the Spirit. You cannot swallow okay by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is there. Gentleness, loyalty, meekness, patience, peace, joyfulness, it's all there. Love, temperance, long-suffering, that's by the Spirit. And they all come in handy. In your cell meetings, in your group sessions, in your zones, in your churches, in your units, by the Spirit. Let me say this. Some of us started in the Spirit. And here we are. We are winding up in the flesh. Something you started out in the Spirit. You are now winding up in the flesh. You are now resorting to all sorts that shouldn't be. Don't forget.
Worship leads to service and sacrifice. The Spirit of God will keep leading you to sacrifice. Keep leading you to serve others. Keep leading you to love people and not love things. The world makes me love things and use people. God makes me use things to love people. The world makes me love things and use people. God has turned my heart around. Now I use things and love men. I create time for this utmost desire to see men and women all over the world full of the Spirit, full of God, full of power. It's my desire. And I am a true worshiper. I can do it. When I see people have gone ahead of me, W.F. Kumuyi, William Folorunsho Kumuyi, the General Overseer, or General Superintendent, pardon me, of the Power Life Christian Ministry. And when I look back at, you know, I told somebody the other day, I said, there's just something about the man and myself, that he just carries this awe. Then we say, bro, we call him bro said, he was the bro in the body of Christ. But you look at 80, serving God, preaching the gospel, just doing what he was doing 45 years ago, 47 years ago, and you see other men. It's possible. It's only possible by the Holy Ghost. So don't think 60 years is a long time. No. It's so short in the Holy Ghost. If you rely and trust on the Spirit of God, do not forget, you are already a true worshiper. And that true worship is in the Spirit. That's where it is. It's in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet and pray in tongues. It's in the Spirit. You can serve worshipfully, sacrifice, pray in the Spirit.